Well, good morning. Greetings in Christ's name. Good to be here this morning. Thank you, Brian, for doing that for our devotional time this morning. It's a blessing to do that together as a congregation, spending time in prayer, and it's a very fitting time to do it as we think of New Year's, the new year ahead of us, as Lord tarries, new opportunities, opportunity to be faithful. May we commit it to the Lord as we go from here, that He would receive the honor and glory for our lives. It's a special time to think about the new year. I believe it's good for us to do that. And that is what I would like to do this morning, is think about the new year ahead of us. The title for the message is maybe a little bit of a different title than maybe what we're used to hearing for a message, and maybe even New Year's messages, I don't know. But I've just simply titled it New Year's Resolutions. I don't know what that does to you when you think about that. Sometimes maybe we have a negative feeling on making resolutions because of so often how it goes. I don't know. I look back in my notes of previous year's sermons and found that I have preached a number of New Year's sermons, but I don't think I ever preached on this subject of resolutions like I felt led to share on this morning. So I have some resolutions that I would like to give to us. Have kind of an introduction to the message, and I told my wife on the way here this morning I kind of have a dilemma, and she said, "What's that? Your sermon's too long." And I said, "Yeah, it feels that way." So we'll see how the Lord directs and what to share this morning. Remind the Holy Spirit in that. But as we think of, last evening yesterday I was sitting in my office and pondering on what to share, and I couldn't help but think back through the last year, 2025, and what that brought into our church life here, in particular, into our church experience. Pondered that, thought of a number of things, went to my own life, pondered my own life. And I think, like I said, it's good for us to do that at times. I believe that there were a lot of battles won, and I praise God for that. There probably were some battles lost as well. I don't know what all the battles were that you faced in your life in the last year. There are many battles that you personally faced and may be facing. There are battles that I have faced and are facing. As long as we're in life, there are battles that we face. But this morning, there's something about facing a new year. I've been thinking about that, about a new year and how we like new things. And this is where kind of some of my introduction, all this is kind of leading a little bit into some of the things that I want to share about resolutions. But thinking about new things come with all kinds of new potential. At least there is some excitement that goes along with thinking about a new year because, it's going to be the best year ever, right? Isn't that kind of what we think sometimes? We at least like to think that way. But there's something about new things. If you get a new vehicle, a brand new vehicle, it has features that you never used before. You sit in that vehicle, and, oh, it's just so exciting. It has this button over here and this button here, and maybe it has heated seats, and maybe even it has cooled seats, and has all this digital dash, and there's just something kind of, you know, exciting about all these new features in this, sitting in this new vehicle. It's new. Wow, that's neat. Well, guess what? 3 months from now, it's not going to be new anymore. It won't be. It's just a vehicle. Isn't that how new things go? You get a new tool, and you're really excited about that tool. It's the best tool out there. You get a new piece of equipment. You look over that, and it's just, wow, it's not even a scratch on it. It's just looks so nice. It's brand new. But, you know, after a bit, it's just another tool. It's just another piece of equipment. And somehow, I have this feeling that the year 2026 could be the same way. Right now, we are looking at this brand new year, and we think about all the potential. We think about everything. You think about everything that you can do this year. Make all the New Year's resolutions you want to. And within 3 months, you're going to look back and say, you know, this year is no different than any of the rest of them. But it's not this morning. It's a brand new year. It's new opportunities. I had to think of the verse in Lamentations 3. Why don't you just turn there? A number of verses there. It's where we have the words, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning." When you woke up this morning, you had a brand new day. You had a brand new day to serve him. You have a brand new day to make decisions. You had a brand new day to make choices. You had a brand new day to get it all set straight. It's only of the Lord's mercies. And even with all of the uncertainties in this world, you think of all the political things happening. There are a lot of uncertainties. We really don't know what we will face in the next year. 2026 may be a year of extreme uncertainty, maybe extreme unrest. We don't know. But we do know that here, Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says this: "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." I love those verses. You can look back at God's faithfulness in the past. The year 2025, God was faithful. Every morning we arose to see another day. He gave us breath. He gave us life. And God was faithful that day. This morning we can face this new year with a lot of confidence, because God's mercies are new and his faithfulness is sure. And it's great. And that this morning should give us encouragement to face whatever we are facing in life. And yesterday, as I read here from Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and his life was not good at this point. His life was, well, it was not good in the sense that he was going through a lot of turmoil. And I don't know, I was going to read here, but I don't think we're going to take the time to read a whole lot. But Lamentations 3, in the beginning of the chapter, he just lists a number of things. "I'm the man that hath seen afflictions by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into the darkness." And it goes on, "Surely against me is he turned." Verse 4, "My flesh and my skin hath made me old." Verse 5, He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail, set me in dark places. He hedged me about, I couldn't get out. Chain was heavy. I cried out, he shutteth out my prayer, didn't even hear me. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He's made my paths crooked, and on and on. It just goes on and on down through here. Life was miserable for Jeremiah. There was just nothing. I could just imagine him saying, you know, there's just nothing exciting about a brand new year. In verse 18, he says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall." Then in verse 21, 22 and 23, it says, "This I recall in my mind." This I recall. In other words, he was remembering. And what he was remembering gave him hope. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And this morning, God is still faithful. He is. And I just want to encourage us with those thoughts. Whatever you are facing, whatever we are facing in life, God is faithful, and he will see us through. What's the first thing you think of when you wake up in the morning? When you got out of bed this morning, what was the first thing that you thought about? Think about that. Maybe if it's a Monday morning, you wake up and you think about all the things that are facing you for that day, or maybe you're even going as far as everything you're facing for the week. All the work that needs to be gotten done. And right along with that, with all the work comes all the stress. Maybe it's all the conflict. Maybe all the struggling relationships. And if we're not careful, maybe I'm just exposing myself here, I don't know. But if we're not careful, those first few groggy moments can define the rest of my day. Maybe you don't find it that way, but I do. Scripture says, "Set your mind on things from above." And if we can just stop, wake up, and think, "Lord, your mercy is new to me this morning, and great is your faithfulness." I don't know why it's so easy that after a good night's sleep, it's so easy to wake up in those first few moments that we take all the cares right on us. I have a quote here. "Anxiety comes when we look at our circumstances and then look at our ability. But faith comes when we look at our circumstances and then we look at God's ability." I like that. Anxiety comes when we look at our circumstances and then look at our ability, and we say, I can't face this. I can't deal with it. But faith comes when we look at our circumstances and it just looks so overwhelming, but then we look to God's ability. Great is thy faithfulness. And so as we face 2026, as we face all of the uncertainties, I'm sure there will be a lot of it. We will be put to the test. God already has our journey mapped out. Don't give up hope. Just trust him every day. All right, so much for that long introduction. This morning I'd like to present to you 8 practical resolutions that I would like to make for myself. And I would like to ask you to join me in making these resolutions. I would like these resolutions to be for this church group right here, Pine Grove. Can we do that? I'm sure there are a lot more we could make, but as I was pondering Calvary and I was thinking about what life could bring to us, these 8 different areas came to me that I would like to make a resolution concerning. I firmly believe these are practical resolutions that you and I can keep. A resolution is a firm decision to do something about it, to be determined, I'm going to do this. I am resolved. So, number 1, I am resolved to feed daily on the Word of God. I am resolved to feed daily on the Word of God. You know what? I think this is a point that we all struggle with. Let's be real. It is. You know, we're real about life, and you know, we say, I need to do better with my Bible reading. And yeah, it's been sliding a bit lately. But let's be positive this morning and resolve to daily read the Word of God. I think a new year is a good time to reflect and to think, how did I do last year? How was my Bible reading? And I understand the responsibilities. I think particularly of you know, young families, young children, the busyness of all of that. I understand that, and I don't want to send anyone on a guilt trip, but I guess my question is God's Word alive to you? Is God's Word alive to me? Am I doing something practical with it? Or do I just whip it out and read three verses and then I'm too tired and I put it away and go on? I'm sure we can all identify with that. We've been there. Is it possible to read too much Scripture? No, we know it is not. Let's resolve to read more Scripture this year. Memorize Scripture. I don't do well with memorization anymore, so this point is for me. But can I just memorize a few verses this year? Take a verse, make it practical, and put it to memory. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against me, that I might not sin against thee." Do you know what you hide? Sometimes we hide treasures. You hide treasures. I believe there are a lot of treasures that have never been found because people have hidden them. Longer ago, especially, people buried their treasures deep, and they alone knew where it was. This morning, you have the ability to take God's Word and bury it down deep in your heart, in your life. And then you get it anytime you want it. You can get it anytime you want it. You need another bar of gold, go to your stash and dig it out. Thy Word have I hid. It is a treasure buried deep within you, and no one can take it from you. It's yours. And as you memorize it, and as you digest it, it can become alive in your experience. It don't have to be a lot of verses. Ponder a verse. I know I just said this thing of reading three verses and then putting your Bible away, but take some verses and ponder them and meditate on them. Get something practical out of them. Psalm 37. Psalms is just so full of talking about God's Word. I'm going to just turn to that. Psalm 37. Verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." You know, it's so easy to get unrestful when we see all the sin and filth of this world around us. Verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall bring the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I just like the picture of delighting yourself in God. Delighting in it. What brings you delight this morning? You know, there is nothing, thinking of an example here, there's nothing that brings me delight than like sitting down to my favorite meal. And with great anticipation, you know, that steak is just grilled to perfection. I just can't wait. Delight. Maybe you don't like food. I doubt it. But there is something that brings you great delight. Maybe God's Word, may God's Word bring you that great delight as you read it more and as you dig into it, as you learn how to grill your steaks, you will discover it tastes better. As you read God's Word, as you learn to take his promises, God's word is going to taste more and more delightful. It's going to taste more and more special to you. I believe it will. It will be a delight, and you will say, I just can't wait. It makes me think of Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a strong tree. His delight is in the law of the Lord. How do we delight in God's word? I already referred a bit to a mealtime. I think it can be like a mealtime. We plan for it. It's a delightful thing, and we make time for it. It's a scheduled time. We make it happen. We set specific times that we are free from distractions. There's nothing more frustrating to me than sitting down to eat a meal and have my food on my plate, and I'm just ready to partake, and I get a distraction that I have to let it and run and do something. That's disgusting. I don't like that. It doesn't bring you delight at all. It sure doesn't to me, at least. But delight is when you have all the time in the world, and I'm just going to enjoy life, or I'm going to enjoy it. I'm just going to delight in God's word, and everything else is just going to have to wait. Maybe we have to plan for it. Maybe take our phones and put them on vibrate. Turn them off. Prepare to delight in God's word. And then read it, and read it, and read it some more. Have a Bible reading program, a schedule. The beginning of the year is a good time to remind us that we need to make it happen. I am resolved. This is going to happen. I don't care what. Resolve with me to read God's word. All right, number two. I am resolved to love the Lord with all my heart. I resolve to love the Lord with all my heart. These points have some similarities. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. You don't need to turn there, but this is an Old Testament account. The beginning of the chapter, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Yeah, verses 4 and 5, we have those words. Did you get those alls? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Not just a bit, not just partial, not just some. Can I trust God with all my heart? We can see in the children of Israel's life how that when they loved the Lord with all their heart, God blessed them very much for that. And then they began to wander around, and they began to trust in other things. They were not trusting in God with all their heart and with all their soul, and calamities came upon them. All kinds of calamities came into their situations. And so I'm resolved this year to love the Lord with all my heart and to trust Him. Let's not be ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ and to love Him with all our heart. I believe the world around us wants to know if we really do love our God the way that we say we do, with all our heart. Number three, I am resolved to love my neighbor as myself. I resolve to love my neighbor as myself. Not only am I going to love the Lord with all my heart, but I'm also going to love my neighbor as myself. Matthew 5. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 34, Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verses 34 to 39. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Then, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As I think about my own life, this is a resolution that I want to make. Not only to love the Lord with all my heart, but to also love my neighbor as myself. And you might say, who is my neighbor? Strong says it like this. A neighbor is someone that is near or someone that is close by, like a neighbor. Someone that lives close by or a fellow man, someone that you relate to, a countryman. Then it says, a Christian or a friend, a near neighbor, someone that you relate to on a daily basis, someone that you have relation with, someone that you know on a first name basis. That is your neighbor. And so right away, you have the question. So am I doing that? Am I loving my neighbor? Yes, you have to. You have to love him. Maybe names are popping up in your mind, and really, do I need to love that person as I love myself? Well, Jesus says, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. How many times in Scripture does it repeat this? I thought it was largely here in Matthew, and I thought it was interesting as I looked in Scripture. There's a lot of places in Scripture where it says that. We have in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19. In the New Testament, Matthew 19. We have it in Mark 12, Luke 10, Romans 13, verse 9, Galatians 5, 14, James 2, 8. All referring to this of, and even saying a lot of these words, love thy neighbor as thyself. So often I think of the account here in Matthew, but numerous accounts in Scripture, different writers, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is something that we need to think about. How am I doing? Thinking about someone that I relate with daily, family members, church family. You know, some people, it's just not a problem. I naturally enjoy being around them. Not a problem at all. And then the next person, well, yeah, my life would just be easier if I didn't know them, or they wouldn't be a part of my life. Why all the arguments? Why all the sparks when we get together? But the Scripture is still there, and it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love, that agape love. It doesn't mean to just have that warm, fuzzy feeling like maybe you love your puppy or something. No, it's not that way. It's more than that. Love is a choice that says to this brother or sister or neighbor that may be hard to get along with, I choose to love that person. It is a choice. This year, you are going to be tested, probably in ways that you are not expecting to. I will be tested, but let's remember, we made a commitment, a firm resolve. I will love my neighbor. I will show them a godly kind of love. That brings me to my next point. And this one is for those of us who are married. When we think of love, possibly we think about marriage relationships. I think about love between a husband and wife. And so the fourth resolve that I want for us to make, I want for myself, is I will resolve to strengthen my marriage. I will resolve to strengthen my marriage. We live in a world where marriages are just flying apart. People don't have that resolve. People don't have that commitment. But I am resolved. You are resolved. Let's resolve together to strengthen our marriage. We know that marriage is a commitment for life. We know that. Why so many failed marriages? Why so many divorces? Why so many leaving one partner for another? It's because they lost that love. The love that says, I will love no matter what. There are times in marriage where we have to make a choice. We have to make a commitment that says, I will love my wife. I will love my husband. No matter if there is a disagreement, we choose to love. We do not have the option to just fly off the handle and say, I'm out of here. I never bargained for this. When we got married, we said we would love no matter what, in sickness, in prosperity. It goes on. All the things that come into an experience, resolve to come through it stronger. When I look at our marriages here, look out over our audience here, you know, from what I can see here, they look good. Our marriages here look good from what I can see. But you know, sometimes we have marriages where there is bickering and fighting among themselves, and they can come to church with a smile on their face. I don't want that. I want us to have strong marriages. This morning I'm here to tell you that strong marriages are based on love, on a love that only God can bring to us. Husbands and wives working together. I am committed to strengthening our marriages. Ephesians 5. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, to let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I challenge each of us who are married here this morning, do you have the same kind of love and commitment to your wife, the same kind of effort you put into your marriage like you did when you were courting? Think about that. I'm putting that same kind of effort. Am I putting that same kind of effort into my marriage that I put into my courtship when we got engaged, well, 30 years ago? Am I still showing love? Life somehow has a way of, I don't know what, slowing us down, I guess. I think it's more of a challenge for us as men. You know, the big eye gets in the way. I'm sorry, it does. I deserve my time. I deserve private time. Let her take care of the family. I worked hard today. Sit back in the recliner. You know, I don't think I would have done that when I was dating. My girlfriend was washing dishes when I was visiting her home. I really don't think that I would have been, that I was sitting in the living room with my feet propped up. I was out there by her side. I wanted all the time I could be with her. I wanted to help her. I wanted to impress her with my helpfulness. Is that the same kind of commitment, the same kind of action that I'm doing today? I bring that first to myself. I bring it to each of us. Let's resolve to strengthen our marriages. This year, I'm going to make this relationship stronger. I challenge you, what specific things are you going to do to make that happen? Love is lifelong. Love is commitment. Love is a choice. All right. So much for that one. My fifth resolution I want to make this year, and I hope you will join me, is I'm going to resolve to be a cheerful giver. I will resolve to be a cheerful giver. Right away we think about money. But giving and giving and giving of myself. As families, men, we give and we give of our time to our families. We give of our money. We give of our resources for the best of our families. A part of strengthening our marriages that we just talked about is to be a cheerful giver. Giving of myself, giving of my time. It means that when I am already busy, when I already have too much to do, give some more. We give to church life. We're so busy with everything else, and we have church life, but still we give to the church. We are committed to being here. Committed to being a cheerful giver of our time and resources, not because I'm forced to, but because I want to. That makes it practical. God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful there means hilarious. I found that interesting. God loves a hilarious giver. It brings me joy. I just start chuckling because I gave. I don't know if I do or not. I love it. It makes me feel good. In my studying, I came across this, that if you want to improve your standard of living to make yourself feel good, it's to go out and find another person to give your time to, give some of your time to. What happens is you feel better about life. God loves a cheerful giver. A man or a woman that is just free to give of themselves, it will improve your outlook on life. Try it and you'll see. It is taking the focus off of self and putting it on someone else and saying, what can I do for you? It is my delight to give to you. To give and to give. God is able to make us abound in everything. You know, we always have excuses. Well, I don't have anything. I don't have time. I don't have money. Why don't you try it? Find little ways to give. Areas that only you can give. For your family. For your wife. For your brother or sister. Friends. Neighbors. Church family. Cards. Text messages. There are so many ways that we can encourage one another and give of ourselves in that. I'm resolved to be a cheerful giver. Number six. I'm resolved to be pure in heart. I'm resolved to be pure in heart. This year, that is a resolution. This is a point that we all struggle in, to be pure in heart. Matthew 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure means something that is undefiled. When you buy a bottle of some kind of drink and it says made with pure sugar, maybe it says made with real sugar, that means it doesn't have any of that artificial sweetener in it. It's the real thing. This morning, I want to have the real thing in my life. I want to be a real man of God. I want to be pure for Him. I'm real. I'm honest. I am who I say I am. I'm not fake. I'm not a hypocrite. The way you see me is the way I am. I'm resolved to be pure in heart, pure in worship, pure in the face of all the filth in this world. And there's so much of that. There's so much filth in the world that you can immerse yourself in nowadays. It will take you down. Only the pure in heart will see God. There are many marriages. There are many lives that are falling apart because their partner is not pure in their motives. A heart seeking pornography will not see God. For this year, for the rest of my life, I'm committed to living a pure life. Pure in my thoughts, pure in my motives, pure in my speech. I want God to be honored. I will live a pure life. I want to see God. You want to see God. So together, we commit to live a pure life. A pure life has nothing to hide. It is open, open and honest with each other, where we can talk about life. Brother, how's it going? How's your thought life? We need to do that. We need to do that more. I need you to come to me and ask me those questions. I believe we need that. We can do that to each other. Number seven, I am resolved to be a prayer warrior. I resolve to be a prayer warrior, communicating with God, getting down on my knees and interceding and communicating with God. Sir Isaac Newton says, I can take my telescope and look millions of miles into space, but I can go away to my room and in prayer get nearer to God in heaven than I can when assisted by all the telescopes of the earth. That is such a privilege that each of us has. I am resolved that this year I will pray more. I will spend more time in prayer. Daniel chose rather to spend the night in the lion's den than to go through the day without prayer. He knew his life was at stake. He knelt in front of that window to pray. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. James 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we believe that? Do we believe it? Are we praying? I am committed to being a prayer warrior. What is a warrior? Someone who goes out and fights. Does the fighter ever quit? Does the warrior ever give up fighting his enemy? No, he continues on. The battle is not over until it is won. Will you commit with me to resolve to pray and pray and pray? There are so many needs around us, so many souls that are struggling. Pray. Don't give up. Keep praying. Allow the Spirit to move mightily in this church, move mightily in our lives. Just a daily awareness of who God is. And number 8, the last one, I'm resolved to be temperate in all things. Maybe this is kind of like the generic point that wraps it all up, I'm not sure. But God wants his people to be temperate in all things. Temperate in my work life. Temperate in my play activities. Temperate in my hunting, my fishing, my camping. Temperate in my sports. Temperate with my phone. Temperate with technology. Temperate in my eating. It goes on and on and on. Temperance. All areas of life. Be temperate. Allow God to work in our lives. Just because you can, does that mean that you should? Think about that this year. Just because you have the opportunity in 2026, should you? Temperance in all things, meaning less of myself and more of others. It comes down to so much to self. We feel like we deserve it. You know, I deserve that good cup of coffee. And it needs to be this kind because no one else makes it better. And let's have a donut to go with it because we live in America. Temperance. We deserve it, right? Surely. God calls us to a higher standard of living than that. Conrad, your donuts aren't wrong. Don't get me wrong there. But you get what I mean. We deserve a higher standard of living or a higher standard of thinking than that. Proverbs 3, 2 verses in closing. Let's turn there. Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar verses that we can quote from memory. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We have the perfect scenario right there for success. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. That was my first point, wasn't it? Trust in him. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Well, may God bless us as we go forth. As you look for ways to live for others, find ways to help each other. As a congregation, may we grow stronger in this. May we work on these things together and be drawn closer to the Lord. Let's kneel together in prayer.